The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Mitzia Adaf Pigima, today's stuff is being studied in the Shmat of Rav Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Pigima Amud Rishon. And we are going to start from the Rabbi Hiya Bar Abba. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. Let's just set up the sugya in order to appreciate what Rav Hiya Bar Abba is going to teach us. We discussed yesterday, in yesterday's daf, we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah said that a person is transporting a habit, a barrel from place to place, and it broke. So we said whether he's a Shomer Hinnam, whether he's a Shomer Sachar, he's getting paid to watch it, he has to make a Shivu'ah. Now, if he's a Shomer Hinnam, what's Shivu'ah that he has to make? He has to make a Shivu'ah that I was not negligent, because a Shomer Hinnam is exempt. He doesn't have to pay for Geneva, if it got stolen or if it got lost, so long as he wasn't negligent. So the Mishnah said that he makes a swear, and that's it, he's off the hook. Now, we know that the Stam Mishnah, that opinion has to be Rabbi Meir. We'll have a problem, because the Gemara showed us from Baba Kama that Rabbi Meir is the opinion that says Nitkal is a Posheya. What is Nitkal Posheya? When a guy's walking and he trips and he drops something, that already is considered negligent. Now, you should have been careful, you should have walked clear, carefully and stuff like that. You didn't, you're guilty. So, right away, it's a contradiction. How could you swear that you weren't a Posheya? Rabbi Meir holds Nitkal is a Posheya. When the guy trips and the barrel breaks, he said it in the context of, let's say, guy trips, the barrel breaks, and then somebody else comes and falls on the broken pieces. So it says the one that dropped the barrel is guilty, because here you're a Posheya, you should have been more careful. So there's a Stidavian. How can you, in one hand, say, let the Shomer Hinnam swear that he wasn't a Posheya, but then you tell me that he is a Posheya, because Nitkal is Posheya, the guy trips is a Posheya. So yesterday's daf, we had one answer to this question. Now the Gemara is going to give a second answer. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Chaya bar Abba Amar, Rabbi Yohanan, Shivu'ah zu takanat hachamim hi, shim I ata omer ken en lecha adam ma'avir habit lachaverom memakom lemakom." He said, "You know what? You're right. Really, according to Rabbi Meir, according to the strict halacha, this guy should not be subject to a shivu'ah. He should be considered a posheya, and therefore he's guilty." It shouldn't even start the story. Because bottom line, he was carrying the habit, he dropped it, your problem. You dropped it, you're a nitkal, you're a posheya, pay. But the rabbis were so wise, they said, you know what, if you're not going to make an institution over here of some sort, nobody's going to ever do a favor for their friend. I'm going to ask you, could you do me a favor, could you carry the barrel for me? No, I don't want to get involved, because I know if I'm going to drop it, there you go, now pay. So the rabbis made a takana midrabanan. It's a rabbinical enactment that they came along and said, you know what? In this case over here, we'll allow you to make a shivu'ah. What's the shivu'ah? Hechi mishtabah. What is the shivu'ah? Amalava shivu'ah shlo bechavana shivartiha. That's the only thing you could make a shivu'ah. I swear that I didn't do it on purpose. Which means he tripped, maybe he should have been more careful, but that wasn't my intent to actually break the barrel. So which is really according to the Rabbi Meir, he holds, you make a shivu'ah. Why do you make a shivu'ah? It's a shivu'ah midrabanan. Meaning, if we would leave the law intact, mideoraita, the guy would be guilty. You're a nitkal, you tripped, you're a posheya, you're a shomer hinnam, you gotta pay. So the Rabbi Meir comes along and says, but you know what? Look at takanat hakamim over here. A rabbinical enactment. Just so people continue to interact with each other and people help each other out, let's put it this way, we'll let you poter yourself. We'll let you exonerate yourself. How? Just swear to the hachamim that you didn't do it on purpose and therefore you'll be okay. So that's the first shita of the Rabbi Meir. Now, comes the next shita. Oh, now wait. The Shomer Sami, let's continue. The Shomer Sachar also would have to swear. The Shomer Sachar, we understand. The Shomer Sachar is Hayav on, he has certain liability. Therefore, the Shomer Sachar has to swear a regular swear because he's a Shomer Sachar. Ve'ata Rabbi Yehuda le'memar. And now Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Shomer Hinnam Yeshava נושא שכר ישלם, היי כדינה והי כדינה. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going back to three shittot that we saw in the Braita. Rabbi Meir, we have clear now. Rabbi Meir, his whole shiur was a drabbanan shiur. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no. Shomer Hanam makes a swear, and a Shomer Sakhar, sorry, Shomer Hanam, yes, Yishava, and Nosei Sakhar Yishalem, exactly. Shomer Sakhar, Shomer Hanam, let him make a Shavua, because he's going to hold that a regular Shomer Hanam is Hayab if he's a Poshaya. So therefore, let him swear that he's not a Poshaya, like a regular Shomer Hanam swears that he's not a Poshaya, and then he's off. But a Shomer Sakhar, doesn't matter. He has to pay regardless. Therefore, the view that we understand is Haikedine. Shomer Hanam Yishava, let him be Patu. Shomer Sakhar, what's going to help? Even if you swear you're not a Poshaya, he's still Hayab. So therefore, he makes the Hiduk. We understand that. Now, you have to say in the Biyuda that he must hold that Nitkal is not a Poshaya. He must hold that, because if Nitkal is a Poshaya, so then what are you swearing for? And he doesn't hold this rabbinical enactment of Rabbi Meir. He holds the law is the law. Therefore, Nitkal, the guy that trips, he's not a Poshaya. Therefore, let him make a swear that he really wasn't a Poshaya. They didn't do anything negligent over here, and it'll be patur. But the Shomer Sakhar does not swear. Ve'ata Rabbi El'azal de'memar. And now Rabbi El'azal, the third opinion, came along and said, In. Gemara ke Rabbi Meir. Yes, the tradition I heard, like Rabbi Meir, that says whether Shomer Hanam or Shomer Sakhar makes a Shavua. I heard that. That's the tradition. However, Umiyu Tameya Ani Im Yechodim Zeva Zeh Shava. But I am shocked, because I don't know how we could say conclusively that always a Shomer Hanam and a Shomer Sakhar is going to make a swear, because there are cases where really they're not going to be subject to a Shavua. For example, Bishlama Shomer Hanam Mishtaba Shelo Pashaba. Okay, I understand. You want to tell me that the Shomer Hanam is going to make a Shavua? Shelo Pasha? Okay. Ela Shomer Sakhar, Amay Mishtaba. Shomer Sakhar wasn't making a swear. Ki lo Pasha Named Ba'ai Shelume. Even if he's not a Poshaya, the Shomer Sakhar still has to pay. So that's the first question he has. He says, first of all, I don't understand at all why the Bimi is making the Shomer Sakhar swear. Seemingly, on the Shomer Sakhar side, it should not make a difference. Now, va'afilu shomer chinam namet. Now, even a shomer chinam, there's going to be cases where a swear is not going to be in order. Ha'tinach bimkom midron. Okay, I understand you want to tell me in a place of a midron, a slope, where the guy was walking with the barrel down a slope, where there already, I could say that nitkal is not a poshaya. Now, a guy trips, okay, you expect it, he's going down the ramp over there. Okay, there I understand if you make a Shomer Hanam swear. Shelo bimkom midron mi matzeh mishtaba. But if he's walking on a flat ground without an incline, how could he swear Shelo Pasha? I mean, which means for sure over there, he's considered a Poshaya. And therefore, Shomer Hanam should not even be able to swear. He should be Hayav right away. Which means basically, the Bialza's question is, listen, how could you come along to me and say, oh, Shomer Hanam always swears? He always swears? You tell me, even if he's walking on a straight ground over there, the Chavrab is walking on a straight ground, he's not he's in a Kabbalah, he's a Poshaya. How could you swear that you're not a Poshaya when you are a Poshaya? Not only that, Va'afilu, and even Bimkom Midron, and even, let's say, you want to tell me the guy's walking on a slope, so you want to tell me the guy's, by mistake, it's not a Poshaya, still, Tina, Hatina, Chayka Delekara Ayah, the only time we let a guy swear, Shomer Hanam, that it wasn't a poshaya, when there's no witnesses. But if you did it in a place, you fell, where you can bring witnesses and they can testify that you did it by mistake, then your swear means nothing. Which means the Pasuk says, the pasuk says, "En ro'eh shivuat Hashem." Only when there's no seers, then shivuat Hashem. Then you make a shivua. So therefore, also if there's a ro'eh, how could the bimir say make a shivua? The shivua doesn't apply. You got to have witnesses. So that's some of the questions that Rabbi Elazar asked against the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Again, number one, why does the Shomer Sakhar swear at all? What is the swear effective? And the Shomer Hanam, if he's walking on straight ground, What is he swearing? And even if he's walking on a slope, if there's witnesses, the swear is not going to help. That was his claim. He said that the Kabbalah is that we have like Rabbi Meir. Yeah, he just shoots that question. He says the tradition. Yeah, it's just a different version. According to the first version, what we benefited here is we adjusted Rabbi Meir, that the whole Shavuah is really the Rabbanan. Let me review. The first answer we had was Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu. You remember we learned, we said, listen, it's two different opinions. We know Rabbi Meir is the author of both. The rabbi that learned our Mishnah is a different rabbi that learned the Mishnah of Nitkat Posheya. You can't, these two statements cannot coexist. You have to say that there was two students, let's say, and each one quoted Rabbi Meir on a different halakha, and they both cannot exist. According to this answer, we're saying, no, they exist. Really, Nitkat is a Posheya most of the time. But in this case over here, when you guys doing this friend a favor, carrying a barrel, the rabbis knew that if you're not going to let the guy give you a chance to exempt himself, he's not going to do you a favor. So the rabbis made a takanad rabbanan that he should make a shua, and he has a chance to portend himself. But still, Avir Azar had questions on him. That doesn't explain Shomer Sakhar. Why does Shomer Sakhar have to make a shua? He should always be guilty. And no, Shomer Hanam as well. All those cases that he had the question on. Okay? So that is the sugiya. Okay, Ahu Gabra. Now we have some stories. Basically, the next couple of stories are going to prove that when you have witnesses, Shavua does not help. You got to bring the witnesses to testify that the guy was not a Poshaya. Ahu Gabra. Story of a guy. Davar kam avad habita de hamra. Guy was transporting a barrel of wine. Beristika de mechoza. In the streets, in the square of mechoza. Utbara biziza dimchoza. There was like a peg or a beam that was sticking out of the wall, and as he was walking, he tripped and it broke the barrel. Atalekame de Rava. So he came in front of Rava. Amarle. So he told him, Risteka dimchoza shkihiba inchif. Listen, the place where you walking, there's a lot of people over there. That's a public place. Aitira ayah zil. Aitira ayah. Go bring witnesses, the iftar, and then you put it, which means swearing that you weren't a posheya are not going to help in this case. You need to go get the witnesses that saw, and they'll say, yeah, we saw the guy, he wasn't negligent. Amale Rav Yosef Bere. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, tells his father, Keman ki isi? Well, dad, you hold like ki isi? Isi is the rabbi that said that when you have witnesses, you don't take a shivwa. Amale in, yes, ki isi. And we hold like Isi. And therefore, that's the halakha. Another story. Ahu Gabra. The Amar Le Lehavre. Guy tells his friend. Zil Zivin Li Arba Me'ad Dane Hamra. Go buy for me 400 barrels of wine. He gives him money. Go buy me the barrels of wine. Now, Azal Zavane. So he went and he bought the wine. Lesof Atale Kame Amar Le. Now all of a sudden the Shaliach comes back and he says, listen, I got bad news to tell you. Zivini lach arba me'adane hamra. I bought the stuff, utkifuli, but they all turned into vinegar. Now, he's claiming that it turned into vinegar after I bought it. And therefore, you know, take the wine and I don't have to pay anything. I did my shlichut. The other guy's claiming, hey, you're a wise guy. You bought it cheap, and therefore you pocketed the rest of my money, or you had your own vinegar and you're giving me, unloading vinegar on me, and you're a thief over here. Mm-hmm. So the whole question is, when did this happen over here? When did the vinegar spoil? What did he do to the guy? Anyway, they came in front of the rabbis. They came in front of the rabbi. Amar le arba me'adane hamra takife. He said, listen, Rabbi tells the shaliach, you're telling me 400 barrels of wine spoiled after you bought it. That's what you claim, is that you bought it, the wine was good, and it spoiled. Well, he says, Kala itle limilta. Such a thing, there's going to be talk. It's such a major a loss. There's going to be witnesses that are going to know exactly when it happened, where it happened. Which means, this over here, you cannot hide 400 barrels of wine turning into vinegar. So therefore he says, Zil aiti ra'aya. Go bring a ra'aya de mi'ikara ki zavnat lehu hamra me'al yada. Go bring a proof, bring witnesses that will say that it was indeed wine when you bought it. V'iftar, and then you'll be patur. Which means, for sure, people are going to know that if this was vinegar at the time that you bought it, or it turned vinegar after, they'll know. Which means, go get witnesses that are going to come along and say that, yes, we know, we heard the story, he bought 400 wine, we know it, and then we heard that the thing turned to vinegar. But if you cannot produce witnesses to that effect, so then we're going to assume that something tricky took place over here. Jeez, the witnesses are probably going to know exactly details of such a major, go bring it out here, you're claiming what? I bought it, it was wine, no problem, I filed my shlichut, and after it turned into vinegar, that's not my problem. The other guy's claiming, nah, you bought it vinegar. Okay, well, go. You're claiming it 100%. Go bring it out, yeah. And if witnesses will show up and say, you know what, it's well known, this guy was selling vinegar, or this guy was selling what, we'll know exactly who the other guy's like. So the Gemara says, Amale Rabbi Yosef Bere. Again, Rabbi Yosef tells his father, Keman, ki isi? Well, you're only like isi? Amale in ki isi usvira lan kevate. That what? Again, same story. That what? That when you have an ability to bring witnesses, we don't trust the guy making a shivwa. He might be shivwa. No pashati. He said, I didn't poshaya. Go bring the ayot that you can, that you're not indeed a poshaya.
Where is his
poshaya? His poshaya would be that he went and bought spoiled vinegar from the onset to save money. So you got to swear that I did everything correct. The Rishonim point out over here that you see that isi's alakha, bringing witnesses, doesn't only apply to a shomer, but applies to any claimant where witnesses can come and solve the issue, then the shivwa is not going to be accepted. Keen, Rav Chiya bar Yosef b'sikhra. Okay, Rav Chiya bar Yosef made a takana in the place called Sikhra. Hane de daru be'agra. Okay, these guys, these porters, okay, sabbalim, that they carry items with an agra. Agra, it seems, is like a certain type of pole, right, that they put on their shoulders, and they put the load on the pole, and they carry. Now, they carry very, very heavy loads over here, and they carry even more than they're able to carry, which means, not that they're sure they're able to carry, they're basically carrying a load that it takes more than one person to carry, but you don't need two people. It's like somewhere in the middle. I mean, for two people, it would be easy. But for one guy, it's difficult. So they're a little like overweight on the load that they're carrying with these sticks over here. And the itbar. So let's say they do that, and the stick now breaks. Because of the weight, and the one guy carrying it, so they overloaded it. So now what's the deen? How much do they have to pay? So the deen is nishalem palga. He's got to pay. And what happened? When the goods fell, or the stick broke, the goods fell on the floor, and the goods got spoiled now. So it's a domino effect. The stick broke because it was too heavy, fell on the floor. So now the deen is, the rabbi said, I made a new takana, the sabal, the porter has to pay half damages. Why? So he says like this. My tama, nafish lehad, vizutar letre. Because it's really somewhere in the middle. It's too much for one guy to carry, so therefore, from that side, he shouldn't have done it. The zutar litre, but it's small for two people, and therefore, usually one guy tries to do it himself. Understand? So it's like somewhere in between. So therefore, karov le ones, the karov le shia. He's like on one side honest because it's the way of people to do this because for two people it's too easy. So usually people do make the extra effort to try to carry this extra load, but it's also karov lifshi'ah because it is a heavy load. So therefore, since it's like he's in between, on one side he's innocent, on one side he's guilty, so the rabbi posek, you know what, in this case let him pay half. Now this is a very interesting takana, because normally we have a rule that we've learned throughout Shas already, that mamon amutal besafek, when you have money that is in doubt, you want to take money. You want to take money out of me now. I have a rule. Hamotzi mechavero alav araya. You want to take money out of me? You bring a proof. So now you're telling me, well, on one side he's really innocent, on one side he's guilty. You want to take money out of me? Prove to me that I'm guilty. Which is, since there's a side that says I'm innocent because really people usually carry this extra load. So you want to say that I'm owe you money? Prove to me that I'm guilty. That was the tekana of the rabbi. That in this case over here, still, make the guy pay half, in order that the guy should be compensated at least partially. However, bidigla. Now, a digla, mishalim kula. This is a type of stick that they would carry, where normally it's a very heavy load. This is a stick over that was made for two people to carry a load of two people. So one guy wants to be a strong guy, muscle guy, but the smot is the poles on his shoulders, whatever the apparatus was, and now carry the load of two people, and the thing broke, and the goods got spoiled. Well, now you got to pay the whole thing, because now you're just a poseya. Because nobody carries this over here, not even one guy. It's made for two people. Therefore, Mishalem, kula, he has to pay the whole thing. Okay, next one. Rabba bar barhanna, Tavru, famous story. Tavru le hanehu shakula'e habita de hamra. There were certain porters that were carrying wine for the rabbi. The workers go carry the wine from place to place. What happened was they broke the barrels of wine and they were posheya. They broke it bifshi'ut. So the rabbi told them, pay me. They didn't have any money. So what did he do? Shakal legilimayu. He took their shirts off their back as payment. There's a right. Atu, so the workers come along, they come to the rabbi. The amru le Rav, so they told Rav the case. Amar le, so Rav tells Rava, have lehu gilimayu, give them back their shirts. So amar le, dina hache? So what do you mean? Is that the law? Is that the law? These guys, they damaged my stuff. They posheya, and I gotta give them back their shirts? Amar le, in, yes. It says in Pasuk in Mishle, Lema'an telech bederich tobim. You should go in the good way. Meaning, from the law, maybe you're right. You're a Tamid Hakam. You have to go sometimes above and beyond the letter of the law. Give them back their shirts. Don't repossess their items. This is the deen of Lifnim Mishrat Adin. So the Gemara says, Yahid lu gilimayu. So he gave them back their shirts. Now they stop claims. Amru le, so the workers come to Rav and say, hey, listen, we're poor people. We work the whole day for this rabbi. We're hungry. He didn't pay us for the job. Pay for the job. They ruined all the wine. So the rabbi was posek. Go pay them. So the rabbi says, is that the law? Yes, for you that's the law. Why? Which means you have to have rahmanut on the biriyot. You have to have mercy on the other people, and therefore, indeed, go pay them. Okay, so that's the hadran alach socher et ha'umani. Okay, we begin the seventh perek of Masechet Bava Metzia. This is the perek of the Socher et ha-Po'alim. Last perek was Socher et ha-Umanim. Now it's called Socher et ha-Po'alim. And we begin with the new Mishnah, Socher et ha-Po'alim. The guy hired workers. Okay, workers, Po'alim. V'amad lahem, and he told them, Lehashkim u'la'ariv. Part of the deal was, he told them, I want you to come extra early and stay late. Which means, let's say the normal time is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I want you to come ready 5:30 a.m. and I want you to stay till 6:30. You told me why? Come early and stay late. So it depends. Makom shnehagu shelo lashkim shelo la'ariv eno rashai lechufan. If it's a place where the minhag of the workers is not to really come early and stay late, so the employer cannot force the workers to make those hours. Makom shnehagu. Next case. Makom shnagu lazun yazun. Some places had the custom that the employer had to give the workers food to eat. So if that's the minhag of the place, he has to follow the minhag of the place. Lesapek bimtika yisapek. Some places also not only would give food, but would also give liftan. They would give like something to dip the bread in. Not only a piece of bread. They give relish or a certain condiment in order to eat with. So if that, right? So if that's the case, it's a pick. Hakol keminhag medina. Really all follows whatever the business practice of the place is. That's what the employers are obligated to their workers. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Yohanan ben Matya, sha'amal libno. Okay, Rabbi told his son, Se sechor lanu po'alim. You know what? Go hire for us some workers. Halach u'pasak lahem mizonot. So he hired the workers and told him, listen, on us we're going to feed you. U'sheba etzel abi, when he came back to his father, Amar lo beni, he said, my dear son, afilu im ata oseh lahem kesudat shelomo b'sha'ato, even if you're going to feed them a seudah like Shlomo HaMelech in his time, lo yatzata yedei chovatecha, you'll never finish with them, you'll never fulfill the obligation, emayim shehen b'nei Abraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov, which means, when you just come along and say, mizonot, there's no end, you're going to have to give them a 20-course meal, even if you give them a seudah like Shlomo HaMelech, b'sha'ato means in his time, because Shlomo HaMelech, there was a time where he was king, there was a time where he lost the kingdom, so that would say Shlomo b'sha'ato, in the time when he was king, which means you cannot make a deal like this. They'll eat us out, and we'll never fulfill our responsibility towards them. So he said like this, Ela, ad shelo yetchilu b'melacha, before they start working, will we still have a chance to change the deal? Because it was only words. Words are not binding. You commit verbal commitment. So before they start working, we could still change the conditions. Tse ve'emod lahem, go out and tell them, al menat she'en lechem alai, tell them exactly what the menu is. Bread and a couple of beans. And that's it. Now, otherwise you just tell them, I'm going to feed you. That's open-ended. You're never going to end. But once they start working, then already you cannot change the condition. Then they already have a right to claim. So therefore, you can only back out on the verbal agreement before they started working. Which means the rabbi doesn't say anything. It all goes according to the minhag of the Medina. Whatever the normal workers eat, that's what his regime is. This rabbi, who was it, Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Yohanan ben Matya, he didn't have to go now and make this whole thing according to the Ben Gamliel. He could have just said that we follow the minhag of the Medina. Whatever the minhag is to eat, you don't have to worry about this. Okay. Now the Gemara begins. Now, by the way, she points out that the rabbi used an example that, listen, once you just say that you have to give them mizonot, you're going to have to give them even like a seudah of Shlomo HaMelech b'sha'ato. Because after all, they're the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So that she says, first wide line, U'seudato shel Avraham gedola m'shir Shlomo. You know, I was going to say that the Seudah of Shlomo HaMelech was even bigger than the Seudah of Abraham. That's why he chose the Seudah of Shlomo. Even in Shlomo HaMelech, you're going to have to feed them. The Gemara is going to prove that. Okay.
What's something you have to prove?
Gemara, Peshita. What's the Gemara's question? You're telling me that you hire a worker and it all goes according to the Minhag of the Medina. So isn't that Pashut? Which means, if at the time that I hired workers, and I didn't stipulate the hours, let's say, so of course, it's going to be according to the, how can I bring them early, and then keep them late? If I hire a worker, so it should be according to the minhag. What do you need to tell me over here, that I cannot bring them early and bring them late? Heshita, you know, I was assuming you didn't stipulate with them. You hired them stam. Okay, now that I hired you, I need you to come half hour early, and I stay half hour later. What do you mean? Like, of course you can't do that. So the Gemara says, no, not tzericha, the case is talking about, detafa lehu agnayu. He paid them extra money. Now, ma'u detema, you would have thought, the employer could say, amar lehu, ha detafa lehu agnayu, that I gave you extra money, what do you think I gave you extra money for? I gave you extra money because I assume that you're going to come early and you're going to stay late. That's the Mishnah comes and teaches us. The Amru, they could come along and tell the employer, oh, the fact that you gave us extra money, we just thought that you wanted us to do good work. So we did good work. Which means, don't think that the guy can have a claim and say, hey, I paid you extra money, therefore you got to come early and stay late. Because they come along and say, we didn't understand that. You never told us that. You gave us extra money. We figured because you wanted us to, you know, be diligent and do extra work. But we didn't take it that we have to come early or late. So that's the chiddush of the Gemara. Comes and goes. Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Po'el b'chnisato mishelo b'tzi'ato mishel ba'alabayit. Okay, what does this mean? Nashi. Top Nashi. B'chnisato la'ir. When he's coming home from work. B'chnisato, when he's going home. Mishelo. Sarich levater mishelo etzel ba'alabayit ulachshich etzlo. Which means, when the guy's coming home, let's say the work ends at 6 o'clock and it gets dark at 6 o'clock. So the deen is, he goes home in the dark. You can't leave at 5:30 to get home at 6. He's got to work till 6 and then he goes home on his time, even though it's in the dark. However, next Nashi, when he goes to work in the morning, Mishel Balabait, Eno Sarik Lagdin, Ena Imanetza Hamah. Which means he doesn't have to leave before Netzahama. He doesn't have to leave when it's dark to get there at sunrise. He could leave at sunrise. Okay? We give him a little, that's on the Balabayit's clock. Okay? He could leave a little later. Going home, you gotta stay to the end. Okay? Go home on your own time. But coming to work, he could wait until it becomes sunny. How do you know that? Gemara quotes from a pasuk. Shene Ema. Tezrach Hashem Shiasefun. ואל מעונתם ירבצו יצא אדם לפעולו ולעבודתו עד הערב. Okay, what is this pasuk talking about? Before this pasuk it says תשת חושך והיא לילה, the night comes, בוא תרמוס כל חייתו יער. Oh, the animals come out of the wilderness and they come and they wreak havoc. It's a very dangerous time. Then what does it say in the pasuk? תזרח השמש, the sun comes up, יאספון, all the animals, they disperse, they hide. They all go to their resident. They all go to their little hiding place and they stay there. Oh, and then what does it say in the Pasuk? Oh, then a person goes out to work. So you see, after the sun rises, so we learn from the Pasuk of the Torah that the guy doesn't have to go to work until Netzahama. But it says, but he stays to work until the evening, until it gets dark. So that's the work hours of the Torah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What do you need this pasuk for? Just follow the minhag of the Medina. That was the rule of the Mishnah. Whatever the custom in the Medina is, that's what's binding in the law. So the Gemara says, Bi'ir Hadasha. It's a new city that doesn't have a custom. And they just started, they just opened up the city. So the Gemara says, wait. V'nechzi me'echa ka'atu. Well, opened up a new city, but the people are not new. Go find out the custom of the people. Where did they come from? Which means, whoever the custom of the people that they started this new city, that should be the business, the practice of the hours of the day. Gemara says, Benikotae. It's a melting pot. Which means they're coming from all over the place. And therefore, there's no one minhag. So therefore, when there's no one minhag, then you follow the pasuk. Then you follow the Torah's minhag. Nashi says, "Shinitlakietu b'mekomot tarbe." They were collected from a lot of places. Some have the custom to work early. Some have the custom to stay late. And therefore, you cannot rely only on the Torah's law that says the workers start from sunrise to leave the house and they stay till dark. Iba etemah. Another answer: the amal lehu de agritu li kefor'el de oraita. Or in a case where, let's say, a guy hires his work and says, I'm hiring you according to the system of the Torah. Also, now you have to learn the system of the Torah. System of the Torah, that means the guy can leave after sunrise, and he has to stay till it's dark. Even in a place where, let's say, they had an established custom. But he says, I'm hiring you, whatever the Torah system is, then you're based on this pasuk of Yitzhak Adam Nefa'oro, V'na'abudato, Adi Arev. Comes again what it says, Darash Rabbi Zera, Ve'amri La Tani Rabbi Yosef. By Dichtiv. Now we go back to these pasukim and give the Rashot. תשת חושך והיא לילה, בו תרמוס כל חייתו יער. תשת חושך, the darkness will come out, והיא לילה, and it'll be dark. זה העולם הזה. This is referring to this world, שדומה ללילה. This world is like darkness. בו תרמוס כל חייתו יער. All the animals of the jungle will be crawling, will be creeping around. Elu reshaim shebo. That's referring to the wicked people. Shedomim lechaya shebayar. they are similar to the wild animals in the jungle. What does this mean? Not only in their behavior that they act like animals, but in their disposition, which means the animal in the jungle goes freely and he has a good life and nothing happens to them. They just roam around and everything's good for them. The same thing, the Shaim come into this world, they're like the animals. They roam around freely, they don't have any punishment, they don't have any difficulty, but la'atid lavo, then they're going to get their punishment. She says, אלו לשעים ששמניחים להם יכולים להלך ברשעם ואין נפרעים מהם. They walk freely. There's no retribution to them. There's no troubles they have. They're like free like the animals. However, the Torah says what's going to happen. תזה חשם שעשפון. The sun is going to shine and they're going to be together. ומעונתם ירבצון. And they're going to go now and to their dwelling places. They're going to crouch in their dwelling places. תזה חשם לצדיקים. That's referring to Olam Abba, that the sun will rise to the righteous people. Yasifun Rishaim the Gehinnam. And now all these Rishaim are going to gather into the Gehinnam Ve'el Ve'onatam Yirbatsun. And what does that mean? Into their dwelling places they will crouch or they will live. En Necha Kod Tzadik V'Tzadik She'en Lo Mador Lefi Chevodo. Which means each dwelling place of each Tzadik is separate. Each one according to his ka'il. Each one has their own private residence, so to speak, which means each tzaddik has their own place. That's according to their kevod. So ve'il me'onatam yirbatun is going back to the tzaddikim. That they will go to their dwelling place, that the tzaddik is prepared, each one according to his kevod. Yitze adam lefa'ono. The person, continue to derasha. The person goes out lefa'ono for his work. Yatzu tzaddikim lekabel secharan. So the king are going to go out to get their paycheck, to get their reward for all the goodness that they did. V'la'avodato ade arev. V'mi sheshtim avodato ade arev. That's the person that worked until the day he died. Ade arev means till the nightfall, which is the tzaddikim that serve God. V'la'avodato ade arev. The ones that serve God from the beginning of their lives, all the way ade arev till the sun sets, which means even to the end of their life, they're serving the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The B and Azar and B Shimon Ashkak Lahu Parhagona. Okay, he saw a certain that she says Memuneh Shel Melech, like a certain government agent of the king. Okay, the Katafis Ganave. This agent's job was to catch thieves. That was his job, to catch the, you know, find out who the thieves are and bring them to punishment. Amar Le. So the rabbi says, "Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, hechi yachalt lehu. How do you know who's the ganavim over here? Lav ki hevra metile, which means these guys over here, they're like animals. Hevra is an animal, and metile is a mashal. Aren't the rishaim compared to animals? And it says by them, dechtibot termosko haytoya, which means." They're tricky, they escape. Mm-hmm. They go back into their holes. How do you catch the ganavim? He was asking the government official, listen, you know, we know what the Torah says about these tricky Rishaim. They're sly. They hide in their caves, they hide in their holes, and you know, when the sun comes up, you can't find them. How do you find these ganavim? You have a hard job. So it says, Ika de amre mehai kirakama. Some say he used another pasuk. Ye'erav b'mistar ke'arieh b'suko. Which means, like a lion that is in his lair, that is hiding, that's the way that the Rishaim are. So therefore, how do you catch up with these guys? They're like a lion that hides out in his den, and then you can't find them. So the Gemara says, Dilma shakad tzaddikeh v'shavak sh'rishi'eh. The rabbi tells him, you know what I'm concerned? I'm worried that you might be taking the good people, and you're leaving the Rishaim. How do you know that the guy you're taking is the real ganav? You might be incarcerating innocent tzaddikim. No, the guy answered. What do I care? Amale umay e'abid. What do you want me to do? Hurmena de malka. Who? The king says, I got to bring people back. And I have a certain quota. I got to bring people. So that's it. I take a guy. And that's it. He's the ganav. What can I do? You're right. I don't know if I'm getting the right guy. But the king says, I got to go find the ganavim. So every day I got to bring some ganav to him. So Gemara says that the bi El Azar is going to give the government agent an idea how to know who the ganavim are. So he says, "Amale ta agmerach." Let me come teach you Hechi Ta'abid, what to do to be successful. Ul Be'arba Sha'e Lachanuta. In the fourth hour in the morning, go to the store. Go to the place where they eat. To the diner, exactly. Ki hazit inish dekashate hamra, bekanakit kasabi yadeh. When you see a guy walk in, he's holding a cup of wine in his hand. The old ladies that would drink wine, and you see him like him dozing off. They come in them nim, and he's dozing off. Sheol eleve. Ask him what he does. Now, based on what he answers you, you'll understand why at so early in the morning he's dozing off. Itzur ba mirabbananu. If he's a rabbi, a scholar, v'nayim, and he's dozing off such early in the morning, agdume kadim ligirse. I can say no problem. He's probably up all night early. He got up early, and now he wants to have something to eat. That's why he's dozing off, because he has a right. He's learning all night. If he's a worker, he has a job. Kadim kavid avete. He must have had an early shift, so he got up early to work, and now he's having a little breakfast. And he's dozing off because he got up early. Which means, and if he worked at night, redude radid. Those are the workers that work with
metal wires.
Yeah, that's actually like
white.
Yeah, they're doing some work with metal that you can work at night. Normally, the metal workers can't work at night because it's very noisy, because they bang. But this one is very fine metal; doesn't make so much noise. So the guy, he works at night. It's quiet. He works at night. He does the fine artisan work of dealing with these thin pieces of metal. Okay, now you know why he's sleeping in the morning. He's dozing off at breakfast because he worked at night. V'ilo, but if it doesn't answer you, then you know gannavahu v'tafseh. You know he's a thief. It must have been all night he's staying up, robbing houses. And now in the morning, he's coming to have breakfast and he's dozing off. And that's how you catch him. That was the advice that the Rabbi Azad gave the agent. Anyway, ishtama milta bimalka. The government, the king heard, hey, Rabbi Azad's okay. He's given the advice. He knows how to catch gannavim. So what they do? Amru, they told him, Karaina di igarta, the one that opened the letter and reads the letter, he should deliver it. Which means, you gave the advice, you know how to do it, you're hired, you have the job now to go catch the gannavim for the king. At Yua, the Rabbi El Azar, the Rabbi Shimon. So they brought to Rabbi El Azar, Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so he started to catch ganavim. He started to catch thieves. Anyway, the azil. Anyway, he was going on. Shalach li Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. So now Rabbi Yoshua comes to the rabbi, Rabbi Azar, and said, hey, now you have to know Rabbi Azar's father was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai.
Wow.
Rabbi Azar ben Rabbi Shimon, his father was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So he tells him, listen, Chometz ben Yayin. He calls the rabbi, vinegar, the son of wine. He was trying to dig him a little. Hey, your father was wine. Your father, compared to your father, you're vinegar. Hey, listen, you're incarcerating Jewish people. And what does the king do? The king kills them. What are you doing? You're being moser on the Jewish people. You're informing. How do you do such a thing? So he tells him, Shalach le kutzim ani mechale min hakerem. I'm getting rid of the thorns that are in the vineyard. These guys are they're the bad guys. Sharach le, so the beast, Yoshua sends it back. Yavo ba'al hakerem v'yichale et kotzav. Let the owner of the vineyard clear the thorns himself. Not God. Which means, you're worried about getting rid of the bad Jewish neshaim. Well, Allah will take care of them. So comes the Gemara and says, she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are considered the vineyard of God. Let him take care of his vineyard. Anyway, one day, over here, they do ask the obvious question. What was he doing? How can he be Mosir? Okay, he asked them, hey, what are you doing? I'm getting rid of the thorns. What about you being Mosir on Klai Yisrael? So the Rashba asked this question. The Rashba in the shoot says that from the Bil Azar's actions, you see that the Chachmei Hador, the rabbis of the generation, have a right to punish the generation if they see that they're parutz in a certain sin, even if it's not written in the Torah. Because otherwise, if the rabbis are not going to put punishment on the Sibur, then the world is going to be destroyed. Right. So they have a right to do such enforcements. Now, even if it's coming from the government, they're allowed to do such a thing. Rabbi Yeshua held that, I agree with you, but it's not that bad. The argument over here was not if he's allowed to do it or not. The argument over here was the degree of the situation. So Rabbi Yeshua said, nah, it's not that bad. They don't leave it. It'll be handled. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's... Right? Any Jew that hands over his fellow Jew to the Goyim, but the Gemara says, "Enu halik la'olam haba." He loses his halik to olam haba. That's how severe the sin is over here. Anyway, the deen is, so anyway, at the time he called him vinegar, the son of oil.
Wine.
So, wine, sorry, vinegar, the son of wine. So he tells him like this, Yoma had one day, Pagabe ahu koves, a certain launderer, that met Rabbi Azar. Karya Chometz Ben Yayin. And he calls him also, hey, vinegar, the son of wine. Yeah, you're wine. One thing from Yeshua is going to call him that. But some launderer now is going to start to, you know, call Rabbi Elazar these names. Amar Medehatzif Kodeha. This guy's chutzpah, very chutzpah. Shmamina Rishi'ahu. Must be the guy's Rasha. So what do you do? Amar Leu Tafsuhu. Catch him. Tafsuhu. They caught him. And what? They hung him. The batar, the nahdakte. Okay, and he calmed down, Rabbi Elazar. Azal batra lefiruke. So he went to try to redeem him. Velo matze, he didn't find him, which means it was too late. They hung him already. Kari ale. So he said on himself, Shomer piv ul shono, Shomer mitzarot nafsho. If the guy would have watched his mouth, he would have saved himself from trouble. Because he was a wise guy, he said, oh, vinegar, the son of wine, he did it to himself. Zakfuha, they hung him. Kam tute zekifa. Now the rabbi went underneath the guy that was hung. Veka bache, and he started to cry. Because he felt maybe, you know, he wasn't deserving of such a punishment. Amru le rabbi, they told him, rabbi, al yira be'unecha, don't worry. This guy was a big rasha. Shehu ubeno ba'alun ara me'urasa b'yom ha'kippurim. This guy and his son, they went to an engaged woman and they violated her on Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, don't worry, the guy was deserving of this punishment. Anyway, so he felt a little better, the rabbi. Yenichu yado al b'nei me'av. Rabbi Elazar put his hands on his intestines. The Gemara says that wisdom also and ideas come from the intestines. That's where the chokhmah also is brought from. So the Gemara says, Amar, he said to himself, Sisu b'nei me'ai sisu. Be happy, be thrilled, you gave the right answer. Uma sefekot shelachem kach. If you're right, even when you're in doubt, v'da'it shelachem al achat kama v'kama. Meaning, he said, in this case, well, I wasn't sure. And he was still right, the guy was Rasha. I said, oh, from the fact that he's calling me names, must be Rasha. Although also in the case, for example, when he went into the store and he told the guys that drinking wine at 4 o'clock, at the fourth hour in the morning, for sure they can have been. Jeez, if you're right on the ones that are in doubt, certainly you're right on the ones that are Vandaim. So he said, then he tells his attestants, Muftah ani bachim. I guarantee she'en rima v'tole'a sholetet b'chem. That I guarantee you're not going to decay. La'atid avot, 120 years, you are not going to decay, you're going to remain intact. So what happened? Still he wasn't satisfied if he did the right thing, the rabbi. Ashkeyua samad shinta. So they gave him a anesthesia. Samad shinta is like a sleeping remedy, so they can do an operation on him. So they gave him this anesthesia. Ve'ailuhu lebeta deshisha. They brought him into a room that's marble floor, cold floor, right? That she says, where there is wind or there's no wind. There's no wind. It's a marble, so the wind is blocked out. Ve'kar'u lekirise, and they cut open his stomach. Havu mafkim mine dekode dekode de tarba, and baskets and baskets of fat came out. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon was overweight, so they started taking out all the fat out of him. Umutbe b'shimsha, and they put it in the sun, b'tamuz ve'av, in the hot months of the summer. Ve'lo masreche, it didn't swell. So therefore, he wanted to make sure that he did the right thing. So he said, "You're always right. My intestines are right, and you're not going to spoil." So they tested it. They took his insides out. They put it in a bed, in a sal, in the summer months, and sure enough, it did not spoil. All fat, if you leave it in baskets in the summer, will not spoil. So why is this any different? There's certain red, like veins, red. It's red.
I can't read this.
Red membranes. Okay, red membranes that are in the fat, they spoil usually. They decompose. Even though they had these red veins, lo masriach. Kari anafshe, when he got up, he said on himself, af besari yishkon labetach. My flesh is going to rest. Now the question is,
he did it when he was alive.
Yeah, when he was alive, yeah. He wanted to make sure that his body is not going to decompose. Gemara says, he was sleeping. Also, a story happened to Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosef. Mata kiyay ma'aseh liyadeh. Same story. The king hired him to catch thieves. Paga be Eliyahu. So he once met Eliyahu Navi. Amar Nisr. Eliyahu Navi says, Ad matay atam moser amosh Eloheinu lahariga. You're bringing the nation of God to get killed. Amar le maya abid harmenad de malka. What should I do? The king is telling me that this is what I have to do over here, which means I have no choice, and he has a right to do it. And they went back and forth. So he says, Amale abuch arak le asya at arok le ludkiya. So he told them, your father ran to Asya. Who is this father? Right, the Yosef. The at arok le ludkiya. You should run to ludkiya. Now we don't know why he ran there, but the Gemara says, your father went there, you should go somewhere else, run away. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.